It's 88.5 KCSN. Michael Kiwanuka is here with Sky Daniels. Michael, welcome to KCSN.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, it's good to
you know,
be here.
I've been blessed with being able to see you a multiple of times. And every time I see you, from the very first time, you know, the earnestness, it was in your eyes, it was in your demeanor, it was in your song. Clearly, you are writing songs with a purpose.
Yeah.
And performing with a purpose. I want to go to a starting point just to get a sense of how you've maintained your balance. And that being, you know, you get named the BBC Sound of 2012 poll winner, which is a phenomenal award and a very, very influential award. Mm-hmm. How do you get your head around something like that? Yeah. You know, what did it really do to you? Not just the initial impact, but what did it do to you?
Well, you know, like the main thing it did at first was for me, it was exciting because, you know, I've always dreamed and still dream of being a musician and like being an artist and a singer-songwriter and a guitar player and have albums and all that kind of thing. So when I heard about this, it was like, well, this is cool because really, I didn't know what I'm doing or like, how I am as an artist. I didn't want to change. I can't really, but I didn't know how that really fitted into like today, you know, like, it's like, I've always kind of been left of center. It's been okay. I've never been ashamed of it, but you know, when you get some support from people, you think, okay, cool. But I hope I don't, you know, let you down with my left fieldness, you know? So when that came, it was like, well, this is cool. This might actually give me a leg up to actually maybe get through some doors that would have been shut otherwise, you know? The kind of songs I like on this or wrote in this album and the kind of music and how my music comes out, you know, this really helped push things forward. So
it really did accelerate things too.
Yeah. So I was excited. So almost that like kind of overrided that excitement over what that entails. The fact that more radio people play you in England and you're getting interviewed on TV in the morning. I didn't even think about that. It's more like, oh, great, this is a foot in the back door.
They like me.
Yeah, it's a foot in the door. I get to really, you know, get out there. You know, people get to hear it at least for 5 seconds, and then they can decide whether to like it.
I got a shot.
Yeah. So that's what was exciting for me. And then we could travel around the interviews, and I was just so happy that I had a chance to do this thing that dreamed of doing. And we just about finished the album at that point, and I was pleased with it. So I was excited for people to hear it. But I thought this way, maybe more people can hear that. So I think that's kind of what's helped me kind of keep it.
So it was real gratitude.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I didn't really see the other side of it, like what could come of it or if I could get big. I just thought, this is good, man. People get to hear this stuff. And I don't think I'd be able to come out here as much as I have this year, which has been superb without it. So I'm pretty grateful for it.
And that is true because, you know, in your own admission, there were a couple of seminal events. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously... going on tour, you know, the alignment of the stars of having Adele take you out on a tour when the world was exploding around her and you earning the respect of that audience, that award, a sensational South by Southwest showcase, which, you know, lit the United States on fire. It really started the flame. But all that aside, I still see your humility and your focus on just being a real musician. It's got to be funny, I guess. You're almost like in a, you know, forget the whatever the time zone difference is, the 11 hours or whatever it is. So much of the success on the album occurred a year ago almost in the UK, and it's now starting to really happen here. Is it weird, like, suddenly going through it a second, like a deja vu?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, but it's like, what keeps it fresh for me, like, is that there's new people coming to it. So, you know, I'll never play, like, some of those songs at home in my room for pleasure, not because I don't like them, just because I've played them a lot. But when you get on stage and there's people there that, and you can feel that maybe they might like a specific song, that really gears me up. And then it's
the connection that you see it in their eyes.
Yeah, and that's cool to really start to experience that over here. Only now is starting to really excite me, and I'm really lucky. I've got this. I've got some musicians along with me on the road who play in the band. I mean, you call it a backing band, but to say that is kind of not really giving them enough credit. And what that helps me is that it's like I've always loved playing music with people, even though I'm a solo artist. So this is exciting because we're like, the music is growing and expanding that way too. So we might play a song like Tell Me a Tale, but every night it's slightly different, and that's growing and learning more about singing and learning more about doing gigs and interacting with an audience and set lists and all that kind of thing. So that's kind of cool. And really here in America, you get, it's so vast that you get to really work on that. You get more like...
Yeah, we have a lot of territory to cover.
Yeah, but then in that sense, you get more hours in than guys that send me just playing in the UK. So when you go back to the UK, then...
That's a great outlook.
Like, yeah, so I'll have more like stamina, you know, like and like I would have picked up a few more things so that when you get there, the gigs can be better out of the UK. And it's exciting because I just think the music that I'm influenced by is all kind of American-based, really.
Oh, man, I didn't know what it means to believe. Oh, man, I didn't know what it means to believe. But if I hold on tight, is it true? Would you take care of all that I do? Oh, Lord, I'm getting ready. Oh my, I didn't know how hard it would be. Oh my, I didn't know how hard it would be. But if I hold on tight, is it true? Would you take care of all that I do? Oh Lord, I'm getting ready to leave. Then we'll be waving hands, singing freely, singing standing toes, now coming easy. Oh, no more looking down, honey, can't you see me? Oh, Lord, I'm getting ready. Waving hands, singing freely, singing standing toes, now coming easy. Oh, no more looking down, honey, can't you see me? Oh, Lord, I'm getting ready. Oh, Lord, I'm getting ready. Oh, Lord.
You started out, as you talk about playing, and as you talk about now having the band create a new dynamic around mm-hmm. your songs, you started out as a session musician.
That's right, yeah.
And so obviously you understood the part of my part.
Yes, yeah.
And it would seem natural that working with a band, you get that, okay, now we're going to really create together and reinvent these songs possibly on a nightly basis.
Yeah, like it's the favorite thing to do as a session musician. The only like that was the fun thing, like working with other musicians and getting these things to work. The thing that annoyed me and made me kind of stop that and try and do my own songs was I couldn't, like, the passion was like kind of gone. So you could go and do a session for whoever it was, whether it's an R&B, a hip-hop artist, some kind of thing. And people would just be needing, they'll be just getting their £150 or £200 for that session and they'll just leave. And they'll do a very professional job. But there was no like excitement or kind of like passion or magic involved. It was just like, yeah. And I was like, this is not what...
I nailed the take.
Yeah. And like, this is not what like in school I used to daydream about. It's supposed to be this like exciting, like magical thing. It's music. It's like, it shouldn't get boring and everyone would be like, oh, I don't want to go on the road anymore. It's like by 20, you know, by 20 years old, they'd be like, oh, I'm trying to get my studio. It's like, and that didn't quite come together. So like fit with me. So I thought, well, and then on top of that, I couldn't play some of the music that I liked to play because there was nothing around. So I thought I'd start writing my own stuff and hang out with friends around Muswell Hill where I grew up. And we just played at my mum's house where I lived there and did small gigs. And then the passion was there. We weren't making money, but like, it was passionate. And then it was like, and you'd listen to CDs together and you'd, you know, to get a drive to South London and do a gig. And I was like, that's kind of the thing I wanted to do. And And luckily, doors opened for me to be able to have a career in that way. And
well, you worked open mic for a while, so you really had to. In when you approached your own, you set off on okay, I could make the 200 quid doing a session, or I can pursue my vision and my what's my heart's telling me. Yeah. Then you went into open mic sessions where you it's literally. Like, how am I going to do? Am I working or not? So I imagine that tested your early, entree as a singer-songwriter. Like, look, they don't know me. They don't care. And if I don't do good, get off. Yeah.
It was kind of cool, though, because that made it exciting. And you could test out a song. And if people listen, then it's like, I'm getting better. If they didn't, I'm going to work on that.
If all of a sudden the beer glasses started rattling more and stuff, sure.
Yeah. But the main thing is that the passion came back. And I was happy to do that and not necessarily go very far, but maybe teach guitar in the day, finish a uni degree. And I was happy to kind of give up the sessioning to have a passionate like music life, however small, and then do something else in the day to get the money. Just so I enjoyed music all the time, because it was getting too stale. People were just not excited about it. So, and I feel so lucky that actually I managed to get through and actually get to do this as a job, And the excitement stays because we're passionate about it. And if I look for musicians to play, I always try and find them like really naturally, and we usually practice in like a kitchen or like first, in their house, like with no.
And you can tell when it's clicking.
Yeah, it's just raw, as if it's like still at school, like your friend's garage or friend's attic, and those things I think help me keep going.
I'll always hear. Tell me a story that I can read. Tell me a story that I believe. Ooh, do, 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 do. Paint me a picture that I can see. A touch that I can feel. Turn me around so I can be everything I was meant to be. All I need is loving. All I need good, good loving. All I need loving. Good, good loving. Ooh, doo 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 doo. Show me some strength that I can use. Give me a sound that I won't refuse. Tell me a story that I can read. Tell me a story that I believe. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Do-ba-do-ba. I need something. Oh, no. Tell me a tale that always was. Song that I'll always hear. Turn me around so I can be everything I was meant to be. All I need loving. All I need good, good loving. All I need loving. Good, good loving. Lord, I need loving. Hey, I need good, good loving. Hey, I need loving. Oh, oh, I need good, good loving.
Again, you know, your sense of purpose and even listening to you talk now, your sense of commitment to music is you know, it's readily apparent. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, obviously all of us who love music have been inspired mm-hmm. by and know the timeless greats. Mm-hmm. When you went to make the album, mm-hmm. you recorded on the Isle of Wight.
That's right, yeah.
Was there a design in your mind of like, I'm going to go isolate and you know, just focus on the music, or did it just happen to be that's the studio you were going to use?
Yeah, it's the second one, really. So the studio just happened to be on the Isle of Wight, but I really wanted to specifically use that studio because, not because it was Isle of Wight, but because I liked the sound that came out of it.
Uh-huh.
So the producer lives on Isle of Wight. His name is Paul Butler, and he really helped me musically so much and taught me loads of things up to this point, and I'm sure we'll do more in the future. But I was sitting around with my managers and thinking we need to do more demos and stuff and find about who could maybe one day produce an album, because we need to get a sound and all that normal stuff.
Right.
And then one guy just put a track of his band's new single that was coming out, and it was a song called "You I Really Need Love." It's like kind of reminded me of Van Morrison, kind of. But the sound of it, like sonically, was like, whoa. You know, this, like, I was like, this reminds me of the stuff that really got me going as a mid-teenager. Like, I was like, I was excited by the sound of it.
Like a T.B. Sheets revelation.
Yeah,
where you're
yeah.
Like, oh, wait,
like,
oh,
yeah. It's like, this is great. Right. And I was like, can I go there? I mean, how did you get that sound? I've never got that before. That's what we're looking for. And, you know, so it's like, yeah, it's Paul. He lives with Isle of Wight. So a few weeks later, we drive down and I went into the studio, so obviously this is the place you can get.
Well, you actually caught the ferry, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we got the ferry.
Because it's tough to drive over.
Yeah,
there.
You can't. You got to get it every time. I've made so many trips. And it was this basement studio. It's just like three rooms. Like the live room's only big enough for like, say, four musicians, so we overdubbed a lot of stuff. A control room and a small vocal room. And that worked with me because it was like, it was so colloquial that I was comfortable. I kind of liked how it was just about working. The studio was just about working, but all the sounds were hip, like an older desk that had this kind of own thing to it. I liked all the sounds. And it was just so down to earth. It was like, this is cool for me. So that's why I did it on the Isle of Wight, because it was just the sound of it was great. The isolation, I didn't really mind too much about that. If it was in London, I would have still gone. But yeah, I just really loved what I heard from his.
So the fact that it was, you know, I'm sure the fact that you were isolated reinforced the focus.
Yes.
But it was really Paul and the room,
yeah.
and like you said, it could have been in somebody's garage.
Yeah, yeah.
If it was there, it was there.
Gone there, yeah.
And it obviously became a record that has had real resonance. You're a songwriter, you know. Mm-hmm. You've said you elected to leave a craft, mm-hmm. if you will, of playing and making a living, and pursue the songs on the road. with all the promotional stuff and you know, the demands in your time, have you had the opportunity to clear your head and find inspiration for songs?
Yeah, a bit more this time around. It took a while. I haven't really had many creative periods, really. A couple of songs here and there that we've added into the set and stuff, but not like a big influx for a while. But this little tour we've had, like the last month or so, there's been promotion, but a bit less than like before. So maybe a couple of interviews in the day, and then like the gig sounds.
And you being a guy who looks ahead all the time, you're probably thinking, I gotta start locking in.
Yeah. So what I do now with the time is, if we've got a hotel room, because we're on a bus, but sometimes we have a couple of days in the city, so we'll
so that's the secret.
Yeah, yeah.
So hotel room and the muse visits.
Yeah, yeah. You go, because as long as you've got your guitar and some peace and quiet, then you could be in a toilet. You could come up with stuff, and I've got to have my laptop to record the stuff.
Everything about you is pure. That's a wonderful quality to see. You know, hearing your music, hearing the way you convey your music, there's no pretense. It's a heartfelt. And so I say in a heartfelt manner, thank you for coming by to KCSN. And we wish you nothing but the best. And we want you to come back when the orange blossoms
and the song
are fragrant, because I'm telling you, then I know there's a song in the Orange Girl for you.
I'm going to do my best to do that. That'd be cool. That'd be hip if you could do that. But thanks so much for having me and the support. It means
you got it. It's Michael Kiwanuka here on 88.5 KCSN.